welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, Westerns. Later on, Frontier Town from 1949. But first, a broadcast of Hopalong Cassidy, heard on February 6th, 1950. It's the case of the last word.
California and I were in a little cow town called Trail Center. We had just unsaddled our horses at the stable and were walking leisurely toward the two-story frame building that passed for a hotel. It had been a long ride from the Bar 20, 100 miles to the east, and our throats were parched with alkali dust. California was unhappy with the situation.
Hoppy, what we doing way over here? We got better dust than this back at the Bar 20.
I know, California, but we've got to have provisions.
What's the matter with Tamarack? It's a sight closer than this place.
A man has to move around once in a while. He gets stale if he doesn't.
Hoppy, you got something up your sleeve.
Maybe. I don't know yet.
Hoppy, Hopalong Cassidy.
Looks like somebody knows you, Hoppy.
Oh, it's good to see you, Hoppy. What are you doing over this stretch of sagebrush?
Hello, Andrew. We came over to buy provisions. This is Andrew Fillmore, California, one of the finest men who ever came west.
Howdy, Fillmore.
Glad to know you, California.
How are things going with you, Andrew?
Oh, not so good lately, Hoppy.
What's the trouble?
Well, there's been a series of bank robberies in these parts. All of us little ranchers, Marty and I have cleaned out.
That's so.
Yeah.
Seems to me I heard something about it over my section.
I knowed it. I knowed it.
You knew what, California?
I knowed it wasn't no provision buying trip.
Well, what are we doing then?
Your old hankering for chasing trouble get the bastards off of you. That's what.
Puffy, does he mean that you're going
to... Just simmer down, Andrew. I'm not looking for trouble.
Oh, shucks. Sure, a man can take care of it if it comes your way.
Right now, I'd like some sarsaparilla coming my way. My throat's kind of dry.
No, there's a sensible idea. Now, bye.
What's that?
Hoppy, look. Coming out of the bank.
Yeah, two masked men.
Uh-oh, I'm getting me some cover.
They're getting me.
Not yet, they're not.
What are you going to do, Hoppy?
Bring them down if I can.
You got the one on the bay.
Wait a minute. The pinot's getting out of range. I missed him.
Well, come on. This is going to tell us who's been robbing our bank lately.
Sorry, I missed the other one.
No use having any more killing than necessary. If we get that mask off of that dead one, we'll know who the gang is.
Here. Now, get the bandana off his face. Now, wait a minute. There.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know him, Andrew?
Yeah, I know him.
Who is he?
My daughter was right after all.
What did you say?
That there's Willie Cranball.
Who is Willie Cranball?
Oh, he's the kid brother of Bart Cranball, biggest cattleman this side of the river.
What does that prove?
Unfortunately, nothing, Hoppy. Willie didn't need no money. His brother's got enough for the whole county. He's probably out on a lark and got himself killed.
You really believe that, Andrew?
Well, I don't know what to believe. But, Hoppy, you've got trouble now.
How so?
Bart Cranball. He's a vengeful man. He's a powerful man. He won't let this pass.
Andrew, this man was robbing a bank, and that calls for direct action. As far as I'm concerned, it's a job for the sheriff now. And if Bart Cranball wants to settle the score, I'll be right over there at the hotel.
The body of the dead bank robber is circled with curious townsfolk. Hoppy and California have nothing more to do, so they push their way through the awestruck crowd to the hotel. They're registering for a room when the sheriff, a big man with a wall eye and a chin like a badger, comes swaggering up to them.
Your name, Cassidy?
That's right.
I'm the sheriff of this here township.
So I gather.
Huh?
That's a big badge you're wearing.
Now, look here, don't...
This is my partner, California Carlson. We're from the Bar 20, 100 miles to the east.
Howdy.
Howdy. Cassidy... We don't like strangers coming in here and shooting up our folks.
Young Cranball was robbing the bank.
Well, that may be, but it's my job to see the justice done around here, not yours.
You weren't around, Sheriff.
Well, that don't make no difference. I would have taken out after him, and I would have brought him back alive.
Like you did the boys who stuck up the banks and Soda Junction, Saltwater Bend, and Harrison Flats?
Well, they got away, but we'll get them yet.
How do you know Willie Cranball didn't pull those stick-ups, too?
Are you trying to tell me how to do my job?
Not at all, Sheriff.
Well, let me give you a friendly warning. Bart Cranball ain't no man to take things light. He's going to be mad when he finds out you shot his brother.
Since we're just visitors here in Trail Center, we can expect your protection if it's needed, can't we, Sheriff?
Well, sure. But if I was you, I'd get out of town, and right soon.
Advice is something you can act on two ways, Sheriff. You can take it, or you can leave it. But I'll remember what you said. Come on, California, let's wash off some of the dust.
Nothing like a thick steak to put a man to rights inside.
And a store-bought bed to put your head on afterwards.
Yes, sir. This is comfort. We ought to come into town more often, Hoppy.
Seems like I always get into trouble when I do.
Oh, that kid had it coming to him this afternoon, Hoppy. He'd have got you first if he could.
Yeah. Well, let's turn in and get some sleep. We're going to need it on the trail tomorrow.
We're going back tomorrow?
Sure.
Shucks, I never have no luck. Well, good night, Hoppy.
Aren't you even going to take your boots off, California?
Huh? Sure. What do you want to go back today for, Hoppy? We won't get a chance to eat like this again for maybe 6 months.
You've already plowed through two orders of ham and eggs and potatoes, California.
No, that ain't nothing. I'm going to have some more of them for dessert.
You're going to look like a steer at shipping time.
Are you Hopalong Cassidy?
Huh? Yeah. And you'd be Bart Cranball.
I got a little score to settle with you, Cassidy.
I'm sorry about your brother, Cranball.
Being sorry isn't enough. I'm going to have you and this whiskered specimen you call your partner run out of town on a rail.
What for?
Let's say for taking the law into your own hands.
I might sue you for that, Cranball.
You're lucky I don't feel like shooting you.
You're wearing a gun. Would you care to reach for it?
I don't operate that way, Cassidy. I get what I want without shooting.
Well, looks like we have more company, California.
Yeah.
Morning, Sheriff. Something on your mind?
Is your glove, Cassidy?
Glove? Let me see. Well, yeah.
Then I'm putting you and your partner under arrest.
And what's the charge?
Murder.
Murder? Who?
The bank guard was shot last night. This glove was found by his body.
I see. What made you think this might be my glove, Sheriff?
Why, it's just like the ones I saw you wearing yesterday. I put two and two together.
Mighty good detective work. Just so happens I left that glove with its mate and my blanket roll down at the stable.
Yeah, that's what you say. I say you sneaked out of your room in the hotel last night, shot the guard, and tried to rob the bank.
Well, Cassidy?
That detective work isn't so good. Neither California nor I left our room last night.
Oh, Hoppy, we...
And if you gentlemen will come to the room with us, I'll prove it.
Looks as if I won't have to run you out of town on a rail. You've got yourself set for a necktie party on your own hook.
Like I said, I can prove we never left that hotel room.
All right, Cassidy. I don't know what your game is, but we'll go along.
Sheriff?
Sure.
I knew you'd want to see the law was upheld. Come along, gentlemen. Your hand.
Hey, what the...
I thought you'd try something like this. You know, of course, we'll string you up when we catch you.
I know what I'm doing. California, get the horses and bring them around back. Hurry.
Yeah, Hoppy, sure.
Just make yourselves comfortable, gentlemen, but don't reach for your gun.
You can't do this. I'm the sheriff.
You aren't as smart as I thought you were, Cassidy. You're proving yourself guilty of murder.
Maybe. Now, turn around. I'm going to tie a few knots with a rope while I do some unraveling in my mind. Yeah?
It's me, California.
Come on in.
The horses horses are out back, Hoppy. You sure you know what you're doing?
I'll tell you later. Right now, let's get out of here.
You're going to leave them all dressed up and gagged like that?
Sure, they'll get out of in an hour or so. At that time, we'll be long gone. Let's go. Andrew Fillmore, but I haven't got the time to talk to him.
Where are we going, Hoppy?
Out there, California. Just keep riding. Let's go, Copper. Pull up in that draw over there, California.
Sure, Hoppy, sure.
It's about time we took a breather.
When are you going to tell me what this is all about?
After I do some figuring. Right now, I don't like being railroaded out of town.
Seems to me you did that for us.
No, I just beat them to it. You know, California, I don't think we were wanted in Trail Center.
That's all right with me.
Most people get thanked for stopping a bank robbery. We're going to stick around and see why we're different.
When we go back to that town, they'll give us a plot of ground 6 feet deep.
We aren't going back to town.
Huh? Then what are we going
to
do?
We're going to sit and talk to the rattlesnakes till the sun goes down and do some thinking.
Cranbaugh sure got himself a big spread here, Hoppy.
Yeah.
We must have covered 2 miles since we left the horses.
Let's stop a minute. The moon's a little too bright to go walking along like we own the place.
What you looking for, Hoppy?
First, I want to get the lay of the land. That's the corral down to our left, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the ranch house in the knoll, straight ahead. I can see the chimney.
Not a light on the place.
I reckon the boys ain't back from town yet. It's Sunday night, you know.
Listen,
somebody's coming on fast.
Get down, California.
I am down. Hoppy, that was Bart Cranbaugh.
It wasn't Billy the Kid.
Look, he's gone right to the ranch house.
Yeah.
Are we gonna jump him?
Maybe. First, we got to know how many we're up against. Let's check the corral for horses.
What's that gonna prove?
If there aren't any horses, that's a pretty fair indication Cranbaugh's alone.
Sure.
You circle the left, and I'll take the right. I'll meet you on the side nearest the house.
I got your hobby.
And be careful.
Put up your hands.
What?
Quick.
Yes, sir.
Come closer. Easy now. I've got some questions I want to ask you.
Drop it, fella. Drop it, I said.
Good work, California. Now drag him out here in the moonlight.
Come on, you.
Oh. Everybody wears a mask in this part of the country.
You'll have to take it off, Hoppy. The critters are extra as a mountain lion.
All right, California. Hang on. Now, out.
What's the matter?
He just bit me.
Hurry up, Hoppy.
There. That does it.
Oh, let me go. Let me go.
Well, I'll be... California, you heard the lady. Let her go.
Hoppy and California have been reconnoitering the Bart Cranbaugh layout when Hoppy is ordered to put up his hands. California jumps the gunman from behind, but he turns out to be an active young lady.
I've never fought with a lady before, California. What do I do now?
Wasn't you, was me. Darn near licked me, too. Better find out who she is.
Oh, sure. Nearly forgot my manners. Miss, my name's Hopalong Cassidy, and this is my partner, California Carlson.
What? Hopalong Cassidy? Well, I thought you'd been run out of town.
You know me, huh?
Well, I'm Julie Fillmore, Andrew Fillmore's daughter.
Well, pleased to meet you, Julie. But what are you doing on Cranbaugh's ranch toting a gun?
I thought you were Bart Cranbaugh.
Why did you want to jump in for?
Because I know he's been behind those bank robberies that cleaned out my father and all the other small ranchers.
What makes you so sure?
I just know, that's all. A woman's intuition.
Oh, I see.
If it hadn't been for you, I might have had my proof by now.
But what have I done?
You killed Willie Granbaugh.
He was robbing a bank. Besides, I don't see
Let me tell you. I've known Willie Granbaugh practically all my life. He was weak, and he'd do anything his brother told him. Got to figuring if I could get next to Willie and make him talk, he'd incriminate his brother Bart. I was building him up easy when you came along and killed him.
We should have gotten together sooner.
All I can do now is try to force the truth out of Bart at gunpoint.
We're in this too, Julie.
Well, I didn't expect any help from you after Dad told me you tied up the sheriff and Bart and skipped town.
Does your dad know you're doing this?
Oh, no. He'd stop me if he knew.
Julie, there's more than one way to catch a gopher. Besides, California and I have to clear our names. You want to join forces?
Sure, but what can you do? Even Dad would have to help string you up if you went back to town.
Did they send a posse after us?
Why, no. The sheriff said you'd left the county.
I thought so.
Does that mean something to you?
It means we've played right into their hands by outlawing ourselves from Trail Center.
What are you going to do?
Cranball's up at the ranch house right now, alone.
Yes, I know. I was hiding by the gate when he came in.
We'll take care of things now. You ride into town and tell the sheriff you saw California and me headed out this way. And you overheard me say I had proof of who killed the bank guard.
Do you?
No.
Well, then what?
You'll see when the time comes.
Well, shall I come back after I talk to the sheriff?
That won't be necessary. We'll handle it from now on.
All right. I'll wait for you at the hotel.
Now ride, Julie, and make it as fast as you can.
Evening, Miss Fillmore. Out kind of late, ain't you?
I just saw something important.
What's that?
Hopalong Cassidy in California riding toward Granbaugh's ranch.
What? Are you sure?
I not only saw them, I heard them.
What'd they say?
Well, Cassidy said he had proof who killed the bank guard.
But he did.
I'm only telling you what I heard.
Well, he's a dangerous man. I'll have to get a posse together and go after him right away.
Why didn't you do it earlier today?
He wouldn't dare show his face after tying me and Bart up. He knows we'd hang him.
Oh, I hope you catch him, Sheriff.
You leave it to me, Miss Fillmore. That hombre won't cause no more trouble around here.
Oh, that's the spirit, Sheriff. You know, we need more men like you in public office. Well, I guess I'll get on home.
Good night, Miss Fillmore.
Good night, Sheriff.
Come in here.
What's trouble, Sheriff?
Got some riding to do.
This time of night?
Julie Fillmore was just here.
Oh.
Said she saw Hopalong Cassidy and his partner heading for Cranbaugh's ranch.
Well, I thought they'd been scared out of town.
We got to get out there.
Oh, we sure have.
Now go ahead. You follow in about 15 minutes and cover me.
Want me to get a posse together?
No. We got to handle this by ourselves. We'll tell everybody about it.
Afterward.
Up to the window.
Sure, Hoppy.
What's Grandpa doing?
He's standing on a chair, playing with the antlers over the fireplace.
Hey, Luke.
We're not play acting, California. What was he doing?
I tell you, Hoppy, he was playing with the antlers.
All right. Now let's ease around to the porch.
Gonna rush him, Hoppy?
Yeah. Stay behind me. I'll hit the door first.
I got you.
Your gun's ready?
Sure are.
Here we go.
Reach, Cranbaugh.
What?
Cassidy. Fire and keep him up there.
I thought you'd have sense enough to be 30 miles away by now.
You were a little too anxious for that to happen, Cranbaugh. And we're going to find out why.
Let me in.
Who's there?
It's me, the sheriff.
Just a minute.
When I didn't see any light, I didn't know whether you were here or not. Mm. I think we're in for trouble, Bart. Julie Fillmore told me in town that Cassidy in California was headed this way.
Huh?
Yeah, and she heard Cassidy say he had proof who killed the bank guard. Maybe he did see me shoot him last night.
Mm.
And another thing, he might find out we got that bank money hidden behind them antlers over the fireplace. If he does, he's going to go after the U.S. Marshal. We ought to take it to a safer place, Bart.
Good idea. We'll need a light.
Well, I reckon we could get it in the dark.
No, we'll chance it. There, that's better.
Yeah, now I'll just...
Don't move and don't reach, Sheriff. California's behind you.
How did you get...
Drag Cranbaugh in here, California. I'll hold a gun on the sheriff.
Come on up, Poppy.
You talk a lot for a sheriff. The wrong kind of talk.
I didn't do nothing, Cassidy. Bart,
save your breath. Get that gag off and untie him, California.
I'm working on him.
I thought you boys worked awful smooth together. Now let me tell you something. So do California and I.
Of all the dumb fool people I have to get tied
but
up with.
I thought that he was you, Bart.
Shut up, both of you. You're going to have a long talk with a U.S. Marshal. And I don't think he's going to like what you'll have to say.
Shall I get the money from behind the antlers, Hoppy?
Yeah, might as well take it along.
This bag's heavy.
It should be. Results of 3 bank robberies in it. All right, march you two, and don't try anything.
Drop those guns, both of you.
That a boy, Rance.
Done just like you told me, Sheriff.
Well, this puts a shoe on the other foot, huh, Cassidy?
Seems that way.
Oh, and this is for tying me up twice in the same bed.
Why are you hit Hoppy again or not?
Go ahead if it makes you feel better.
Well, what are we going to do, Bart? Shoot him?
No, we're going to string him up on the willow down by the spring.
What'll people think?
What we want them to. These two are wanted for murder. I caught them snooping around here, sent for you, and we hung them.
Sure.
Rance, now I'm glad Cassidy got my brother yesterday instead of you.
Good thing I got here in time.
Cassidy, and you dirty rattlesnake, move. We'll make this as quick and painful as possible.
Back to Hop Along Cassidy.
All right, Sheriff. See, they don't try to get away. Hey, Rance, get a couple of ropes over that lower limb.
Yeah, Bart.
You got anything to say, Cassidy? It's going to be your last word.
Wouldn't do much good to say anything, would it, Cranbaugh?
Ain't there nothing we can do, Hoppy?
Somebody's coming, Bart.
That's just the boys coming back from town. Get on with it.
Hoppy, quiet, California. Cranbaugh, how about making a deal? We'll take off and never come back if you'll let us go.
I knew you'd eat dirt before we finished with you.
I mean it.
Now, Sheriff, get them on those horses. We're wasting time.
All right, mount up there. Hold still. Get these nooses around your neck.
You ready, Sheriff?
Not quite.
Hey, Bart, Sheriff, those ain't the cowhands coming. It's somebody else.
What?
What?
You're surrounded, Cranbaugh. Drop that gun, Sheriff. You won't be needing it now.
One of them's getting away.
I'll get him, Fillmore.
Hoppy, California, you all right?
Yeah, Andrew, we're all right.
Oh. Yeah, sure.
Cranbaugh's toting your gold, Andrew.
Oh, thanks, Hoppy.
All right, boys. Take Cranbaugh and the sheriff. The marshal can have him now.
Ah, that was a close one, Andrew. Thanks for coming.
Oh, don't thank me, Hoppy. Thank Julie.
Julie?
Yeah. Hello, Hoppy. California?
He's the one rounded us up, made us come out here.
You got a smart daughter, Andrew.
I figured this would require a woman's touch before it was finished.
You sure figured right, Miss Julie.
How did you happen to come back when I said we wouldn't need you?
When I saw the sheriff leave town by himself, and Rance follow a few minutes later. Well, I got the drift.
Well, you proved it once again, Julie.
What's that, Mr. Cassidy?
It's the woman who always has the last word.
Hop Along Cassidy, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 6th, 1950, a syndicated episode. During the time of that broadcast, Hop Along Cassidy was heard on the air three times a week. In the Los Angeles area, it was heard on station KHJ at 8 o'clock in the evening, mostly competing with music programs like Sing Your Worries Away on KLAC, also the news with Lowell Thomas on KNX. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for an episode of Frontier Town starring Jeff Chandler. The syndicated episode from June 11th, 1949, is called The Case of Bourbon Kate.
Frontier Town, the saga of the Roaring West. Frontier Town. El Paso, Cheyenne, Calgary, Tombstone. Frontier Town. Here is the adventurous story of the early West, the tamed and the untamed. From the Pecos to Powder River, Dodge City to Poker Flat, these are the towns they fought to live in and lived to fight for. Teeming crucibles of pioneer freedom. Frontier Town!
Howdy. Would you like to spend a few minutes listening to a Frontier Town lawyer? Because that's what I am. And Chad Remington is who I am. Attorney and sort of all-around general troubleshooter for Dos Rios and our surrounding territory. Now, when I say troubleshooter, I guess I mean it in more ways than the term is generally used. Because down our way, and with the kind of people we have, the term troubleshooter gets the emphasis on both words. Yep, there's a heap of trouble out on the frontier and a lot of shooting, too. Now, let's take last winter, for example. It had been an especially severe winter, colder than usual, with almost constant snows. Snows so deep and heavy that even the winter range was useless. Cattle froze, starved, and died right and left. Well, it was late in February up in the little mountain town appropriately named Headstone. The principal business building in Headstone is a long, narrow room operated as a cafe or saloon and run by a strange, hard-faced woman called Bourbon Kate. Her real name, or the rest of it, I guess no one ever knew. Well, this particular night was a blustery one. Kate's saloon was empty for a change, and Kate stood behind the bar cleaning up and polishing glasses. And suddenly the door opened and...
Well, Sheriff, evening.
Evening, Kate, evening. Guess this is about the worst night of the whole winter.
Wouldn't surprise me none if there won't be a head of cattle left up here after this storm is over. I get you something?
I guess so. The usual. And Kate...
Sheriff?
Make it four fingers this time.
You bet. Man needs something to keep his insides from freezing. Here.
Ah, listen to that. Don't know what's going to come of the cattleman now. A blade of grass for feed is worth more than a porterhouse steak. Well, Kate, here's to you.
Drink hearty, Sheriff.
Worst part of it is there ain't a man among a lot of them that's got money enough to buy even a hatful of feed.
Another one, Sheriff?
Yeah, thanks, Kate. Don't mind if I do. Yes, sir. Rate we're going up here, Headstone would like to become a ghost town now.
With the bank shaky like it is, where can the ranchers get help? Wouldn't surprise me none if the bank closed its doors before the month's over. Sheriff, I tell you,
well,
we ought to...
Hey, looks like you got one customer, Kate.
Hey, what a night. Yeah, snow's clear up the treetops some places.
Yeah, bad one for sure.
Yeah.
Kate, if you don't mind, I'm going to sit down over there by the stove.
Not at all. Make yourself to home. Now, mister, something I can do for you?
You're
Bourbon Kate, ain't you?
That's my name.
I'm Ben Madigan. Got a quarter section up in the Rimrock country up high. This storm just about ruined me.
Well, you ain't alone, Madigan, believe me.
I did manage to round up some of the yearlings and herd them into the barn, but, well, I ain't got no feed left. Not a stick of straw or a single grain.
Well, you can always buy a little feed. They tell me Josh Winterstore's got some left.
Yeah, I know. I went to the bank to borrow a few dollars, but that cheap old Jasper turned me down cold. That's why I come to you.
Me? You mean you want to make a touch?
Yeah, I sure do, and I'll pay it back, believe me. Come summer, every last red cent.
Well, I'm sorry, Madigan. I ain't in the lending business.
Well, from all I've ever heard, you're loaded. Made it all right here, too, out of the folks around Headstone. Folks like me.
No, sir, I got a rule about... Yeah. How much you need, Madigan?
Oh, shucks, I guess I'd get by on 100. Yeah, 100'd be fine. Well?
You look honest.
I am honest.
Yeah. I said you did. Well, here. Here's five $20 gold pieces.
Well, doggone,
I'll tell you what I'm going to do with you.
Yeah?
I'll cut you high card, double or nothing.
High card? You mean if I lose, I'll owe you 200?
If you win, you won't owe me a thing.
Yeah, you don't have to run a bank. 100% interest.
You mean you won't cut high card?
Oh, no. I'll cut. Okay.
Well, here's the deck. You cut first.
Well, what do you know? Red Queen. Queen of Hearts. Well, let's see you beat that, Kate.
Well, you sure ain't making it easy on me. I might as well not cut and just give you the money.
Go on. Cut him. It was your idea.
Okay, if you say so. Well, I'll be jiggered. An ace. The ace of clubs, Madigan.
Yeah, where'd you get it? Off the bottom of the deck?
Madigan, I guess you don't need the money so bad after all, making a remark like that. I just think I'll put them gold pieces back.
Oh, no, you don't. I always heard a man didn't stand a chance in a game with you, and now I know why.
Madigan, keep your hands off that money.
Yeah, well, I'm taking it, and you're not going to stop me. You understand?
Why, you loco-brained idiot. Put that gun away, or I'll...
Kate, look out!
Well, I'm sorry, Kate. I wouldn't have done that if he hadn't pulled his gun first. Kate, what's that red on your shirt waist?
Couldn't you see? I was just trying to make him a... present of that money. And...
Why, that varmint plugged you after all. Here, I'll...
Sheriff, don't waste your time. You leave me here and go fetch the doctor.
Ben Madigan was killed, all right. The sheriff's bullet hit its mark plumb center. But poor old Kate, she got a slug, too. 2 days later, when the storm died down, I received a telegram from Kate asking me to come up to Headstone because she wanted some legal help. It turned out it was her will that was bothering her. We didn't know that till we got there. That is, by we, I mean my landlord and sidekick, Cherokee O'Bannon, the former medicine man who now runs a livery stable over which I have my shabby little legal offices. Well, we wasted no time going to Kate's and seeing her. She looked tired. Awful tired and mighty old as she lay there, her face gray as ashes against the clean white pillowcase.
Fellas, it was mighty nice of you to come, particularly in this kind of weather.
Ma'am, I'd like you to know that we have weather down in our part of the country, too. But for a woman whose name is Bourbon Kate, I'd walk halfway around the world and snow up to my eyebrows.
Cherokee sure talks a tough game of two-fisted drinking, doesn't he, Kate?
I've known the old fraud since he peddled his genuine Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil. And even when I was giving him drinks on the house, he'd never take more than one.
Well, let's talk about you for a while, Kate. Doctor says you're going to be all right.
Yeah, that's what the doctor says.
He's a good man. Once saved me from nasty snake bite without the use of the usual remedy.
Well, a doctor who can do that with you, Cherokee, must be a miracle man.
Well, we'll see if the doctor's right this spring. if I'm still kicking around this spring.
Oh, you'll be here longer than I will. Now, what's on your mind?
Chad, I ain't been no angel, you know. I danced in Rio and worked saloons in Sydney in a girly-girly chorus and shows out of New York.
Well, that's nothing to be ashamed of, ma'am. Besides, you've accumulated a lot of the lovely green folding stuff.
I've made money and I've spent money. But my life ain't never amounted to very much. Never done anything folks call constructive.
Hey, what are you talking about? Wasn't too long ago you practically nursed a whole Indian village through an epidemic of diphtheria single-handed.
Oh, anybody had done that, Chad. It just happened that I was there at the time they come down sick. But well, like Cherokee says, I have got little money tucked away. And, well, I ain't got nobody to leave it to.
Well, now, if you're looking for someone to leave it to...
Kate, don't I remember hearing my dad tell me that you used to be married?
Sure, sure. And in 20 years, I ain't even had so much as a Christmas greeting from a kid. Married by this time, I reckon. His father was a no-good sort. Yeah. Well, about this money, Chad, when the storm was over, the ranchers are gonna need money bad, and I kind of thought I might help them out a little.
Well, that's a wonderful idea, Kate, but... Well, you don't need me for that.
Yeah, I do, Chad. I want you to handle it. Most folks I've ever known don't like taking money from a woman. And after that Ben Madigan being shot in my place the other night...
Oh, for goodness sakes, Kate. It wasn't your fault.
No, but try to convince folks. Oh, come on in. Who are you?
My name's Madigan. Cleve Madigan.
There's no call for coming into a woman's room with a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah? My father was killed in her place the other night because she tried to fleece him out of some money.
Young fella, that remark calls for an apology.
Don't, Chad. Let him be.
Now, don't go try to help me, too. I'm full able to take care of myself, even though my pa wasn't.
Mister, you're either going to have to stop yelling around here or get out. And fast.
I'll get out when I've had my say. And I'm telling you this, you old Harridan. The folks around this part of the country are mighty sick of you and your kind. And if you know what's good for you, you'll move along. Get out.
Doggone you, anyhow. Now I do want that apology, and this time I'm not going to wait for it.
Let me alone. Take your hands off me.
Now look, are you going to apologize to Kate?
You're darn tootin' right I'm not. You're not getting no apology out of me, but you are getting this.
You lame-brained young idiot.
Chad, you put that young pup to sleep for the rest of the winter.
Chad, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that.
After the way he talked to you and about you?
The boy was upset.
He's upset right now after what Chad just did to him.
Chad, that money I was talking about.
Yeah?
Because that Madigan boy's father was killed in my place. I want to see that the Madigan family gets help. Every bit of help. And with every last penny I got.
Oh, but Kate, don't
you're my lawyer, Chad, and as my lawyer, I'm giving you my orders. That Madigan family is going to get all the help money can buy.
Well, her name might have been Bourbon Kate, but in my reckoning, she wasn't just 100 proof. She was 100% guilt-edged woman. With a heart truly as big as the proverbial hole outdoors. Well, being the kind of woman she is, one you don't talk back to for long, Cherokee and I started to see what we could do with her money to help the ranchers. We talked it over with the sheriff and decided to order several carloads of feed shipped up to Headstone. It was while the three of us were talking it over that we got our first bad news. The barber ran into the sheriff's office to tell us that a mob had descended on Kate's saloon and was busting the place to pieces. Well, leaving the sheriff to round up some deputies, Cherokee and I raced down the street to the scene of the bedlam.
Come on, men! Smash this place into kindling!
You loco coyote, stop it! Cut it out!
Now, that's Bourbon Kate's bodyguard. Don't listen to him. Go on, let's finish the job!
Madigan, unless you want to go to jail, you'll stop inciting these men to riot.
Now, look who's talking. Come on, let's throw him out.
Okay, anybody who thinks he can, step right up.
I'm stepping up, mister.
Oh, good. And you're stepping right in. Right into this.
Chad, here comes the sheriff and his deputy.
Oh, yeah. Here,
I'll turn one of you. You're under arrest.
What?
If you know what's good for you, you'll come along peaceable. My men have got orders to shoot, to kill.
Yeah. The sheriff didn't hold anybody very long, but his prompt appearance did break up the riot. The next day, Cherokee and I rode out to the Madigan place to pay a call on young Cleve Madigan.
Whoa there, boy.
Well, I hope the young man's at home. That last night's little experience has calmed him down. Of course, I don't blame him for not...
Now, what do you want?
Cleve, we rode all the way out here to talk to you.
Yeah, I'll bet. I only want to find out how I enjoyed being locked up.
If Kate wasn't the kind of woman she is, you'd still be locked up.
If you come out here to talk to me about that old witch, you're sure wasting your time.
What?
Well, nice bright young fella, isn't he? But I certainly don't like him calling Kate an old witch.
Yeah, Cherokee, the sad part of it is that someday, pretty soon, he's going to swallow those words. I just hope he doesn't choke on them. Come on. Best place for us is back at the sheriff's office.
Well, I guess you'll be pleased to know that the freight cars got through with the feed. Pulled in while you were gone this afternoon. They're down to the siding.
That's certainly a relief. Oh, by the way, how's Kate? Have you heard, Sheriff?
Well, I talked with the old Sawbones a while back.
Well?
He says the wound don't amount to nothing no more, but... She ain't getting no better. Says he just can't understand it.
If you ask me, and you may if you wish, I think Kate lost her spirit. Her fighting spirit.
Well, no wonder. From all she's been through. And that... Say, I most forgot.
Yeah?
The ranchers called a meeting this afternoon to try to get some help from the state.
Oh, that's great. By the time the state could vote on it and send the ranchers some help, the snow would be flying again next winter.
Well, all you've got to do is go to the meeting and tell them about the feet that Kate's bought for them.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing to do. With all the ranchers together, I'll just go to that meeting and tell them the good news.
All right, folks, quiet down now.
Neighbors, I telegraphed a fellow I know in the state senate. He says the state will be glad to help, but they can't appropriate no money until the next regular session.
Excuse me, but may I say a word?
Why, sure you... Say, you got a nerve coming to our meeting after what you pulled the other night.
Now, look, you're in trouble, all of you. I think a mighty good slogan for this meeting might be, let bygones be bygones.
Let him talk, Rod. He's so full of hot air, if he talks long enough, he may melt off all the snow and we'll get some grass around here again.
Cleve, that isn't a bad joke. I'm going to accept it as a joke. But I came to this meeting to tell you that at the junction siding, outside of town, there are five cars of feed.
Sure there are five cars of feed. And from what I hear, the feed was bought by Bourbon Kate and brought up here. And she's going to try to charge you $70 a ton.
Now, wait a minute, Cleve. Oh, you're talking like a wild man.
Are you trying to tell me that Bourbon Kate doesn't own that feed?
Well, no, I'm not, but you...
If she thinks she's going to squeeze blood money out of us, she's better off dead. And for one, I'm in favor of going down to the siding and putting a torch to those cars, just to show her what we think of
her. 8 a.m. in the morning. What's got through you, men? Haven't you got any...
Come on, men. At least we'll be warm around here for a while. Get some pitch torches and let's be getting down to the railroad track.
Ever try to reason with a mob? I'm here to tell you it just can't be done. Neither the sheriff nor Cherokee nor I had any influence with them. Nor would even one of them stay to hear the truth about those cars of feed. Well, as soon as the hall had cleared, the three of us decided to go down to the siding and, not wanting any bloodshed, to see what we could do about straightening them out. The wind had started again. Going was tougher than ever.
Doggone it, Chad. This wind's just going to make it worse.
At the rate you're running, I could use a little wind myself.
If we can uncouple just two of the cars and save them, we'll have done some good.
Hey, look. Look, they've done it.
Huh?
The fire's already starting.
Oh, what fools these mortals be.
Sloping to the south, if we can just unhook two cars, they'll roll down that ravine and be safe.
Chad, I don't think we're going to get there in time.
If we do, it'll be because someone has carried me.
Great jumping Jupiter, Chad. Hey, ain't that somebody climbing on the ladder in the side of that burning car?
Sure is, Sheriff. He's climbing up there to release the brake.
Release the brake? Then once that car starts rolling, he won't be able to get down without jumping.
Hey, hold it, hold it. No use running now. It's too late.
Say, am I seeing things, or did you see what I saw?
No, Cherokee. We saw it, all right.
Hey, that sure was a close one. You boys cut that car loose just in time.
We didn't cut it loose. We didn't get here in time.
Well, then who was...
That was Bourbon Kate who done it, Broderick.
Yeah. And there she goes, riding that boxcar, probably to her death.
Look at her roll.
Not a good looking at that car does, because it ain't never going to make that curve.
Merciful providence. The car's tipping. It's going over now.
That's the end of her.
Yeah. What an awful way to end. Smashed up in the wreck of a flaming freight car.
Son, come on back to town with me. You and I have a bit of talking to do. All the fight was gone out of Cleve Madigan. So he came along quietly and chastened. I thought the best place to talk to him would be in the room where Bourbon Kate had lived. So the four of us headed for there.
I don't mind going with you, but what's the idea of taking me up to her place?
Cleve, there's a letter here that I want to turn over to you.
Wait. I'll open the door.
See, as sick as she was, I'll never know how she managed to get out of the bed and down to...
Chad!
It just can't be.
Am I crazy or something? I know I saw her riding on top of that freight car.
We all saw her, Cleve, but still there she is, right in her bed.
Is she... Well, you know, is she...
Yeah. Reckon she's been dead more than 2 hours.
But... I don't understand it.
Well, there are a lot of things in this life we live that none of us understand, Cleve. A good deal of it has to do with the spirit inside of us.
I'll say amen to that.
You mean you think this was a miracle?
I'd be a pretty poor mortal to judge miracles, Cleve. Maybe after you read this letter...
Letter? Letter from who?
That's a letter for you. It was written by your... It was written by the woman we knew as Bourbon Kate. Cherokee, I think you and the sheriff and I had better be on our way. Goodness knows we don't want to be around if there's another miracle performed tonight.
Life of me, Chad, I still can't understand it.
Shouldn't even try to, Cherokee. The important thing is that we We were there to see that Kate's desires and her will were carried out. Plenty of feed for everybody now. I imagine Cleve Madigan won't judge folks quite so harshly again.
Every time I think of her, I get a lump in my throat.
That might be a good thing for you, Cherokee. It may stop you from pouring things down your throat that you'd be better off not having. And look, if you don't mind now, I don't feel much like talking. Let's just rattle up these ponies and get on home. Come on. Come on there, you. Start moving.
Frontier Town, starring Tex Chandler, is a Bruce Elf production. Supervision by Joel Murcutt. Story and direction by Paul Franklin. Music written and played by Ivan Dittmars. Be sure to be with us again same time next week for another fine action-adventure story with your favorite young Western star, Tex Chandler. And now this is Bill Forman telling you that Frontier Town came to you from Hollywood.
Frontier Town, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 11th, 1949, a syndicated episode wrapping up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.